This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Satya Srinivasa, who works for Appian.
Hi, good morning. My name is Satya, and I am currently the Vice President for Solution Consulting for Partners. And I also have another role. I am the Principal Solutions Architect for Appian. I've been with the company for 10 years, and I started as part of the professional services delivery team. And I've grown up and came into the darker side, which is the sales side of things, so to speak. And I was a solution consultant, grown up to the principal architect. And recently, I've taken over the role of managing a small team who work closely with partners for their success.
Working with both partners and being an architect around that, how much does that go hand in hand? And is that something that you use to guide partners as to what you need to fit into the ecosystem?
To begin with, this is a recent role that I've taken over. I'm still taking baby steps into this one, but I already see that there is a bit of synergy from my experience of being an architect at the same time working with the partners. The way I see that is, a lot of partners are really excited to work with Appian. They go through the training and then they want to get their hands dirty. They want to get working with that. But sometimes they usually get too excited, and sometimes they build something that may not be according to Appian's best practice, so to speak. So nothing to fault, because they haven't got the right foundation sometimes. So as an architect, when I recognize these things, I am trying to put guardrails in place to make sure we enable them on the architecture side as well, so that they build a solid foundation along the lines of Appian's best practices, which means whatever they build is fully solid, given that Appian now has also started working on creating solutions, and we encourage partners to create solutions as well. So we want to make sure that they are solid in their foundation, they last longer, so to speak, and then it's easy to maintain, manage, and change, which is the core value of Appian. I think the architecture role, from my experience and working with the partners, go pretty much hand in hand so far.
I'll come back to that partners building complete solutions. I'd like to first of all talk about the AppExchange. I looked at it this morning. You've made an announcement of 3 new accelerators, but that takes you to almost 450 items in the AppExchange. How easy is that to manage?
We have 3 sets of components, for lack of a better word, in our app market. So they fall into the category of what we call as plugins, sale extensions, and applications. So the plugins are what you build to extend the platform's capability in a scalable and maintainable fashion. I'll explain more in a second. This has been a feature we had for a very, very long time with Appian. So you build once, and then it gets the additional functionality added onto your platform, and then you simply use it. They run on a OSGI container, which means that we allow them to be scaled, maintained, and managed independently of the core platform itself. The new feature that we had for the past year is what we call a sale extension, which allows you to build your own connected systems, which is a new feature to connect to any of the external systems we have, like Salesforce or whatever it might be. You can also create custom user interfaces. This is a new feature, again, independently architected, running on a Felix container, which doesn't affect the platform. And the third one, which I believe you're alluding to, is what we call as solutions. Solutions are built on top of Appian itself. These use the feature of Appian as per the version that they created. Now, Appian is always backward compatible, which means that whatever they build today will pretty much guarantee to work in the future as well. The only thing we recommend is we constantly come up with new UI components and features, makes it UI better and better. Sometimes if you look into something 3 or 4 years back, they might not have the great looking UIs because we did not have all the features, but today we have a lot of powerful functionalities in the UI. So it's always good to re-architect, or for lack of a better word, refactor those kind of UIs.
With the plugins, one of the things we've seen with a lot of companies is they've had to go back over the last few years and revisit how many plugins they have. Often people write a plugin because they have a problem, and it solves their problem, and they give it to the community for the community to use. Unless that's a commercial engagement, you're very reliant upon their goodwill, their need to update it, and often people don't have that time. They've created it to solve a point-in-time issue, they've now walked away. How regularly do you review the number of plugins? And is there a risk of customers being caught using a plugin that doesn't evolve, and as you evolve the underlying system, they kind of get stuck?
The plugin architecture in Appian works as follows. We expose public SDKs, so public libraries that you can use that expose Appian's functionality. So this goes through the standard life cycle, which means that we create them, we might deprecate them. So with a deprecation flag, that allows the people who are developing the plugins to use those APIs to consume those functionalities. We strictly recommend against using private APIs. If you use a private API, that plugin will not be approved by our cloud community. It won't even be available on the market. When you do build these plugins, when you request those plugins to be deployed, we also ask you what version of Appian it has been tested or it has been guaranteed to run against. So you can only say that it runs from X, which is 5 versions back or 10 versions back, whatever it might be, till the current version. You have to come back and revisit and update your plugin as a owner to say that it is going to work on the next version as well. So the onus is on the initiator, the person who created the plugin, to say that it works on the future version as well. Although in my personal opinion, most of the plugins do work on the next version, we are actually trying to encourage people to come in and make sure that they say that in the next version of Appian, I've done a quick testing and it seems to work perfectly fine. We also encourage people to make sure that the libraries, if they are using external libraries, are also like not proprietary or they are not deprecated. It's very difficult to predict, but if it is deprecated from Appian's point of view, the plugin will highlight as if it's been deprecated and you can see the deprecated icon, but it will continue to work on the older version. So it's not going to break the process or anything that you built, but it has a deprecated image, which means that you can't use it in the future, or it visually highlights that, you know, there is an issue with this.
One of the announcements today has been the new integration of HealthCheck to run all the way through the development process and on everything that people build. Are you looking to your app market partners to say, okay, it doesn't matter whether we've built an application or a solution or a plugin, here's a health check. We can run this on a regular basis and we can make sure there's nothing that needs updating on what we're providing.
Health check is an initiative that's been running for at least quite a few years. Initially, it was part of a plugin, and recently it has been pulled into as part of the product itself. So you can access it directly from the admin console to make it easy. The health check works across 5 areas of Appian's best practices. The idea here is to make sure that we guide the developers to make sure that what they are building aligns against the best practice. So we say, don't use more than X number of nodes in a process model. Now, if you go over X, it's going to highlight on the health report, but it doesn't mean that it's going to affect the platform in any way. It's like part of best practice. Even if you put 100 nodes in a screen, it doesn't look pretty. It makes management difficult. So those, some are best practices, some are clear indications and warnings, because we learned that some things that you do can affect the platform scaling in the future. This comes up as a report, so we recommend that you go and make sure that these things are handled so your solution doesn't have any of these flags. So we are actually guiding them, but keep in mind, the health check doesn't solve all the problems. So bad data in, bad data out. So sometimes this is where the Appian's own experience comes into play. So when you work with something like an Appian's architect service, which is a human, an experienced person looking into what you've built, they can give you a different dimension in addition to what the health check usually offers. It is a hand in hand. It is our way to say it is not enough just to make sure your platform is healthy. It's also important to make sure your application is healthy, not just today, but it also future proof, like, you know, make sure it is scalable. When you expand, Appian's core philosophy is reusability of every component. So we want to make sure that what you built is easy to scale up and used across the platform.
When you're working with partners on the solution side, one of the dangers is that the customers who buy the solution aren't your partners. They're that solution provider's partner. That means they're not always bought into your underlying platform and your philosophy. As you talk to those partners, how much do you get them to think about what Appian wants, and how much do you use them to fill gaps, let's say in a vertical market you're targeting or in a horizontal job role problem?
We have a team led by one of Appian's founders, Mark Wilson, who manages the partners ecosystem. Under him, we have people who are actually working closely with the partners, especially when a partner comes to us and says they are building a solution. And this allows us to guide them to make sure that we understand what they are trying to solve and we share our knowledge. But keep in mind, when partner builds a solution, it's their IP, and they are probably building it because they see a pain with either a customer or a group of customers that they are working with. When they come to us and say, hey, this is what I'm building, or sometimes they don't, where we find out, so you have to go and talk to them, we try to understand what they are trying to solve. The precursor to that, if the partner has been enabled the right way, it makes our life a lot easier because they see the bigger picture already. They know exactly how Appian fits and how this solution is going to just land and expand, not just a point solution. My personal take is point solution is not always the best way for Appian to go forward. then we are competing with another COTS provider who has the same functionality. But everything has to have a start. So a COTS product might be literally land and stay there. But whereas whatever you build in Appian allows you to land, and then what you have can be easily expanded to allow peripheral operations and operations across other departments or other applications as well. So we call them Appian acting as a digital glue. Not only is it providing one solution, it is able to interact with other solutions that the customer might already have. Thereby, the people who are working are focused on one single place. In military, you might be familiar, it's a swivel chair approach where you have to log into multiple green screens, take printouts. So we are trying to avoid that. That's one of the places where operational efficiency is lost, in our opinion. So keeping all the data in one single place, what they want to see in one single place, allows them to be more efficient. There are a lot of terms floating around. Some people call it as a 360 degree view. I'm not a big fan of 360 degree view. Imagine how life will be if you can see all around. You won't know whether you're going front or back. What I would rather call is 120 degree view, which is laser focused on what you want to do right now, and 360 degree awareness. So if you want to be aware of something else, you don't want to be switching system. You should be able to get that immediately. If you saw the recent examples of how Appian uses AI, the same screen can cater different information based on what you're looking at. So if a customer comes in, based on the customer's profile, I can pull in information saying the most likelihood this person is calling is because he had a complaint yesterday. So he's probably following it up. If the same person calls you next week, you might say, hey, you resolved it very happily. Now it's a time for you to upsell another product to him. So that information is what I call as a 120 degree laser view and 360 degree awareness without moving out of the context of what the user is trying to do.
If I look back over the number of years I've been around this business, I've seen many, many vendors build marketplaces where they've got partners who are producing solutions. But those vendors themselves also deliver solutions as Appian does. And one of the challenges is when they start to clash. But an even bigger challenge is getting real competition in that solution space. So let's say a solution for banking, trying to find 5, 6, 7 partners who can all work in that space, because that gives customers a choice and actually helps to push the platform really easily. How are you doing in terms of getting partners to come in and compete on their solutions? And how much of a challenge is it saying, but we already have a solution in this space. We don't want to compete with you. We want to work with you.
That's a good problem to have, in my opinion. We want partners to build these solutions. They are close to ground zero because they know what the problem is. They probably have the advisory service, the expertise and everything to take the IP and then build a robust solution. But then we won't be building a solution unless we see the problem happening as well. If we know what the partner is trying to build, usually what we will try to do is connect the dots. Like, hey, I see a problem. One of our partners has a solution. Would you like to take that into consideration? We are not trying to compete with partners. We are trying to encourage what they are trying to build to be spread out. But then we also need to make sure that what is being built is also the right one for all the other vendors or all the other parties to consume. There might be 80% match, there might be a 50% match, or there might be probably like 20% match. That's a big differentiator. The Appian Solution Initiative is a way to say, for example, a leader solution is institution onboarding. So we have a lot of FS customers, and we are seeing a trend of a challenge, which is institutional onboarding. So we are taking that problem scenario and trying to figure out what is the least common denominator that all the people have that we can build, but at the same time keep the value of Appian as well, which is start over there, but give them the option to expand and work with other applications and things like that. There might be scenarios where you will have a partner who builds a solution where we have a builder solution. I don't have the best answer, to be perfectly honest, with how you'd go about, but I think it falls down to which one fits their use case right. Sometimes a customer might be already working with a different partner and they might not have the appetite to buy it from that particular partner. So maybe our solution will be a good fit over there. Reusability is our core value. So wherever we see a candidate where we can point a solution that's already there, we would try to do it that way.
Your value prop is the platform. Customers are not just buying into the solution partners, they're buying into your platform because it's your platform that enables those solutions. The advantage of having that platform is that it allows a customer to change from one partner to another because it's that core connectivity that they have done themselves. Do partners understand that customers now can make that move easily? And do customers take advantage of the platform to choose their partners based on their need at the time?
I would say it depends. Let me explain why. We are more focused on the customer being successful. Our end goal is not the platform. Our end goal is customer success. If you look into any of our OVM report, which focuses more on the customer rather than the vendor, it talks about customers being happy using or working with Appian. So that's a core philosophy in addition to the platform itself. when a customer sees the value of what Appian provides, they buy into the value of Appian. Now, who delivers that value? It can be Appian, it can be a partner, or it can be multiple partners as well. So we have some big customers who are running multiple Appian projects at the same time, delivered by multiple partners, and Appian is also in the mix. More important stuff, it is not about who delivers it or the flexibility to change from one delivery partner to another, but how easily can the next person pick it up and run with it. Now, you are now focused on somebody else who has built something. How quickly can you adopt it? I've done a little bit of Java and .NET coding in the past life. If I read through somebody else's code, I'll be scratching my head. When you come into a visual design, it's everything is graphically represented. So it makes changing ownership from one person to another a lot more easier, which means that even if you change the partner, the customer is still getting continuous success when they run with that. Our intention is not to guide the customer which partner they should keep and which partner they should choose. We have something called as an A-Score program that talks about the partner's practitioner's experience with Appian. So you have level 1, level 2, level 3 that says how experienced a particular partner practitioner is. That's very much open for the customers to see. So they can choose themselves whether the partner is capable of delivering that or not. But in spite of that, for any reason, if the partner should be changed by the customer, the platform focuses on ease of transition so somebody else can quickly pick it up and then run with it. And because it's all modularized, it's all components, it's all visually designed, it has less impact on the bigger picture. So we are still focused on delivering at weeks rather than months or years, and then bringing continuous customer success as we start building these solutions.
One of the things that interests me about the underlying platform is you've chosen not to have to write everything yourself. For example, you work heavily with Google for its AI services rather than build your own AI, which some of your competitors have done. That gives you some flexibility, but how easy does that then make it to add in new technologies as customers and partners want them? For example, missing at the moment is blockchain. And whilst it's an overhyped and overused phrase, there are some very key case studies that affect your customers, such as Know Your Customer from banking, that we're seeing people use it for. How often do you review the technologies, and how do you begin to decide we'll write it ourselves or we'll bring in somebody else's?
Integration is always a challenge. We are focused on making integration easy. The initiative of plugins and connected systems that we have been talking about is purely focused on two things. One, how can you extend Appian's integration platform beyond what is available out of the box? Now, out of the box, Appian's integration falls into four categories. Direct integration, which is standard protocol like JDBCs and web services and SOAP calls, FTPs, everything that is standard-based protocols. Then you have what we call as connections to applications like SAP, Salesforce, Siebel, Oracle SM, Microsoft Dynamics. The third one is plugins that allows you to extend the platform's capability. That allows a small margin of working with legacy green screen applications which do not have a direct integration. And this is where we take leverage of robotics to pull information from these things and pull it up. In my experience, these four integration methodologies cover majority of the spectrum. But then you might have somebody who, as you said, I want to work with blockchain. Now, blockchain is a modern technology. What we are focused on is how can we leverage working with the blockchain technology. So if you have a blockchain technology, we can simply integrate with that using our out-of-the-box integration functionalities like REST services. So blockchain are exposed through REST services, so we can consume and exchange contracts or anything that you want to do directly through that. Keep in mind, Appian is not a blockchain engine, but we are trying to open the platform to work with any of the technologies that are out there. So tomorrow you might have a new technology. So we want to make sure we are able to integrate with that with very little code. I use the word with very extreme caution because our initiative is to make sure integration is easier, but you can never take that out. There might be scenarios where you might have to write a little bit of code. But that's our main value proposition. We continue to evolve our integration platform to make integration with the technologies more and more easier and simple, decoupling the need to write complex code and maintain those complex code, more importantly, anything else. That's our approach.
So let me put you on the spot a little now. We've talked about solution partners. We've talked about customers. We've talked there a bit about what's in the platform and stuff you bring in or stuff you write yourself. When you're talking to all these constituents, what are the technologies they're telling you they want you to bring to the platform?
It's a very open-ended question. It depends on who we are speaking to, given that Appian works across various verticals. When you work with, let's say, for example, insurance industry, you may or may not agree, insurance industry is still a little bit catching up in terms of technologies. When I'm talking to them, their main focus is make my life easy to work with my legacy platforms. I don't want to invest millions of dollars creating a wrapper software against my legacy landscape. So how easily can I work with that? So that is one of their common problem statements. So they want to work with that. If you talk to fintech are looking at the next bleeding edge technology. So as you said, blockchain is one of them. Then you have SAAM, which is a new authentication protocol that is coming up, which is similar to SAML. So they want to make sure it is seamless, it is fast, it is like extremely productive. And then you have a totally different set of people, things like developers, for example. They are more focused on how can I build my own code. So we have challenges from various industries, given that Appian is both leaders in what we call as BPM and case management, which is one side of the spectrum, and then low code, which is the other side of the spectrum. We have competition from both ends, and we are trying to cater for all of them. So depending on who you speak to, there is a lot of challenge. But for the past 12 to 18 months, RPA has been a big subject, and so is machine learning. So one of the common stuff that people want is, how can I have machine learning embedded in my solution without having data scientists? Because I know data scientists, they cost a lot, they take a lot of time, and I don't even know where to get started. So I can't go through that chain, but tell me how quickly I can. I have some data, I want to start using my data to see if I can do some learning and then use it in my solution, see whether it's good or not. If it is really good, then I will consider bringing a data scientist to refine the data and create my own algorithms. This is the angle that I'm seeing people are moving towards, or at least majority of the market is looking for machine learning, AI, and things like that. It used to be IoT a couple of years back, but it was a phase, it disappeared. It just came, it went, I didn't even see it coming. But right now, machine learning and RPA are appearing to be one of the most discussed topics. And Appian has done something about it. So not only are you bundling AI capability as part of the platform powered by Google, we also have a solution that allows business users to train machine learning directly without the need for data scientists and all those things. So you upload your own data, you say how to consume the data, what is the target, and then you can start using it straight away without the need for any intermediaries.
But how effective can that be? I spend a lot of time talking to people about machine learning and building systems. And one of the challenges is context. It's okay to say, I've got machine learning that pulls things together, but actually the machine doesn't understand the context of all those words it's pulling in. It doesn't get this. And that requires using complex vectors. You have to understand every time that word is used, what is around it, in what direction, so you can position it correctly. That in itself then requires that you have people with data science knowledge who can oversee this. Is that putting pressure on you when you're saying to customers, you can just upload your data into this machine learning system and we'll help you build a solution? Does that put the pressure on you to actually have the data scientists on your team to do this? Because if the customers don't have those data scientists, the value of what they get out becomes questionable.
Very true. What I was trying to explain earlier was a phased approach. What I mean by the phased approach is, for the first phase, for example, you can take Google's AutoML, which allows you to consume a data, let's say from a massive Excel sheet, and then it analyzes the Excel sheet, tells you these are the data I see, tell me which one to use, which one not to use, and tell me what is the resulting field that generates the output for you. Whether it is classic or a regression-based algorithm, you can define, and then it gives you an output. Initial stages that I was talking about is to take this approach. So what Appian provides out of the box are mostly perception-based AIs like OCR, the text-to-speech NLP, which is again powered by Google. This one is taking it one step up. Like, I'm pumping my own data for Google to use AutoML to crunch the data and give me an output. So this is a solution that's available on the marketplace. For now, you need to have a Google AutoML account in order to do that. This is not part of the free offering. That allows you to consume your data, test your result and see whether it's good enough or not, and then use it within the solution itself. But no matter what you do, right now we are not able to recommend when to bring a data scientist into client base or not. So it's for the client to make the decision. So we are trying to help them cross the very first step, which is, let me experiment using this and then decide whether I want to bring somebody over to do deeper analysis and deeper networking based on my data. So we are just taking the first step right now. Probably in the future there might be better ways to do this one, but this is where we are today.
Sounds extremely interesting. So many more questions, but we're out of time. Satya, thank you for talking to me today.
Thank you very much.